I was asking because we're both rocking soccer gear, and then I'm not sure what Bo's got going in the middle.
It's a Big Crit t-shirt.
Big Crit. I don't know what that is.
Welcome to Highly Questionable, where Sarah just learned who Big Crit was. Actually, she didn't learn. Why? At some point, I will tell her. Izzy Gutierrez, Sarah Spain, let's go.
Can wooing Phil Rivers out of retirement save the Colts season?
Yo, this is wild. So Carson Wentz hurt his foot. He's got this crazy range, though, of recovery. Maybe he's back in 5 weeks. Maybe he's back in 12 weeks. It's a big difference between the two, and he's going to come back somewhere in the middle. So in the meantime, maybe you call Phillip Rivers, who was your starter last year if you're the Colts, and the LA Times did call Phillip Rivers, and he said he stays ready. He didn't rule this in, but he damn sure did not rule this out. If you go get Phillip Rivers, please understand, you're waving the towel on Carson Wentz. Like, it's a wrap on that. Phillip Rivers, even without having an offseason, is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz, who was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year. So if you decide to make that call, you are saying that Phillip Rivers is our new starting quarterback, because nothing about the history of Carson Wentz indicates that he could mentally recover from basically being benched just because his foot broke.
Well, first of all, let's just discuss the fact that Phillip Rivers had a couple months of just being a dad to his 11D kids. And he was like, no, I'm good. I'm ready to play football. Whenever you need me, I will step away from this new life, which I am already completely over. He's 39. He led the Colts to the playoffs last year pretty up and down. And, Bo, I'm a little bit more enthusiastic about Wentz's ability to return to some of the form we saw earlier with a new system, a coach he feels good about in Reich. The injury is always going to be the problem, not as much the play to me. And so if he's able to recover and get this new shot, I'm not going to go ahead and say Phillip Rivers is guaranteed to be a better quarterback in his current state than Wentz is, just based on what we saw at the end of the run last year from Rivers. But I love the idea of this, the content alone of him strapping back on the football pants and the bolero and strolling into Indy, you know. I don't know. Is he going to still take a van from San Diego every day? It seems like a longer commute.
Well, I don't even know why we have to tie the Colts to this, because it seems like Phillip Rivers has this whole storyline all played out. He's talked about how, yeah, he's not there yet, but he can get in shape in the next month or two. You look at the high school team that he's coaching, and their last game is late October. He's already got it in his mind. He's coming back November and December to save some franchise. Probably won't be the Colts. The timing doesn't really work out, but he thinks he's coming back to save somebody, which is crazy because his QBR last year was right around Mitchell Trubisky territory, so Sarah knows that that's not really anything to long for. So I think Phillip Rivers has had this comeback plan for a little bit. It just so happens that the first team calling him was his former team.
Sarah, I just need to know what the cause for optimism is on Carson Wentz at this point, because he ain't going to a new system. He's just going to a different coach, a coach that got the same system as the one that he stunk at the last time we saw him play. Like, I am amazed at this point with him. We have given up on the Jared Goff thing. Like, we have looked at him and been like, eh, I don't think that guy's really got it. He was twice as good as Carson Wentz was last year.
Yeah, to me, you mentioned the mental stuff, and I think we've done a lot of guessing at what's going on with Carson Wentz mentally, confidence-wise, everything else. I want to see what a different mindset is for him in a different place. I just feel like it's so hard to see someone have the success and talent that he did early on in his career and have that just disappear. I don't know that we saw that from Goff, that peak level, the same way we saw it from Wentz when he was really cruising. So I'm just optimistic about it. I think part of it is just an innate empathy for someone who's gotten burned so many times by unlucky injury that I want there to be a happier conclusion than just continuing to go down.
That's so nice. Like,
then just crazy. Continuing to go down really and then nice having injuries ended.
Oh man, kindness. It's an amazing virtue to have.
Kindness, pass it on.
Who do you see making a bigger impact on their new team, Kemba Walker or DeMar DeRozan?
Yo, I got to say, this kind of low-stakes free agency we've had this year has been kind of refreshing. Like, normally we're all talking about what superstar is going to go where. Now we got, like, NFL free agency-style moves where guys who aren't on their last team because their last team didn't want them no more are going and maybe going to help somebody else out a little bit. Got a chance here. DeMar DeRozan leaving San Antonio. There was a trade made involving him. He is going to the Chicago Bulls. It doesn't matter what they're giving up. They now have DeMar DeRozan. Kemba Walker been bought out by the Thunder after being shipped out by the Celtics. And now he is going to come home to play for the New York Knicks. And all I want to ask Kemba Walker is, did you ask your knee how it felt about this move that you were making? Because I don't feel like having a bad knee and going to play for Thibodeau is a move that I would make myself personally. Like, I think he can help them because he can get his own shot, and he's an offensive player that's superior probably to anybody else they have on their team. But, man, that doesn't seem like a great idea. On the other side, DeMar DeRozan is a cap on whether or not you can win a championship because he just doesn't have enough range. You can't get enough spacing with him. But he's still a good basketball player, and the Bulls might be doing what the Knicks did last year. Somebody said this in my Twitter mentions. Good point. Getting your way to competence. They've been so bad for so long that simply being competent, I think, is enough to say that you've made an impact. So I'm going to go with the DeRozan move for now.
I think we're awarding competence to the Bulls front office a little bit too quickly here, because if you look at the makeup of this Bulls team, yes, DeRozan is a nice player who doesn't shoot threes, a nice player whose defense, team defense, is worse when he's on the floor. And when you look at this combination of Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, Vucevic in the middle, and then DeMar DeRozan, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like, which one, like, DeMar DeRozan should be your bucket getter, but that kind of feels like that's Zach LaVine's role. Lonzo Ball, is he going to be able to expand his game? It doesn't really seem to make sense. And if you look at Billy Donovan's style, like, Billy Donovan's very much share the ball. I mean, classic sort of Al Horford, Joe Kim Noah, bigs who move the ball and get open shots. It doesn't seem like it makes a ton of sense as a fit. Who knows if it's going to work? I like the Kemba thing. You kind of doused it with the knee thing. I get that. And yeah, playing for Tom Thibodeau, probably not the best. But if they can keep him healthy, they exactly need that. They need a perimeter bucket getter. They can't just rely on Alec Burks the whole time. So I like the idea of Kemba. He's only a few years removed from 25 points a game and his effective field goal percentage higher than DeMar DeRozan's because DeMar doesn't shoot threes. So that's what the Knicks need. Hopefully they can keep him healthy enough so that they can have him in the postseason when it's most important, because that dude loves playing at MSG. And he had like 60, what, last year, 2 years ago? He can still go get buckets. He's just got to stay healthy.
I'll start with Kemba. You just said if they can keep him healthy, which is the whole thing. I mean, you have a team. You got Kemba. You got D. Rose. You got guys who have a serious history of injuries and knee problems playing for a coach, as Bo pointed out, that's going to run you into the ground. Could be really exciting. Could provide some serious highlights. I'm excited for him that he's excited to get to MSG and to go home. There's just so many questions around what Kemba can do over the course of an entire season. And I don't see the Knicks having enough to be that much different than last year, even if Kemba's pretty good. I'll try to keep it short on the Bulls. You said competence. I say relevance. This is a team that has missed the playoffs for four straight seasons. This is a team that is not interesting or fun to watch. Last year when they added Vucevic, there was some excitement there, but then Zach LaVine got COVID. Vucevic wasn't healthy. You never really got to see over the second half of the season what that team could look like with those two all-star players. You add in Lonzo Ball. You add in DeMar DeRozan, who importantly wanted to go to the Bulls. That has been the biggest sticking point for this Chicago team since the Jordan era, is that zero free agents wanted to go to Chicago. That's the difference of a new coach and a new front office. So you get two players like that. DeRozan's a great leader for Williams. You also have a guy who's averaged over 20 points a season for 8 years straight. Yeah, doesn't shoot the three, but you said he's going to be your primary ball, your primary shooter, is he? He averaged 7 assists last season. He can be a completely different player if you put him alongside LaVine and Ball and some of these other guys. I think it's going to be tricky to figure out where they all fit in because you do have a bunch of primary ball handlers. But I'm excited, and I want to watch the games. And if you're going to go from nobodies that don't make the playoffs with no players that you're really that excited about except LaVine on an island to this, at least you're taking a step forward to tell other teams that you're aggressive and you're trying.
The Bulls need to get Sarah selling season tickets out here or working for the Chamber of Commerce. Right. You got me hyped up about the idea of what the Bulls might be. I can't believe you did that.
Should we all laugh at the Lakers for building a decrepit roster, or did they make good moves?
Yo, this is an interesting look at what the NBA is now, because the Lakers just added a bunch of dudes that are 32 and older, except for Kendrick Nunn, who's like older than you think, but he's not quite 32. But they made the trade and they got Russell Westbrook. Somebody help me out with some of these other old people, because I'm old too and can't remember who all of them are. What are the old people?
The Dad Masters on the team.
You got Melo. You got Ariza.
Yes. Yes, I forgot. Kent Bazemore, just to keep everybody's spirits high. Like, that's Trevor Ariza, if I'm not mistaken, this will be his 18th year in the NBA. Now, I don't know how it is that Russell Westbrook is going to fit in this just because he can't shoot and is still so ball dominant. But the rest of the guys do seem to be good fits around what you want with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Guys that can shoot. except I don't know how long all these guys are going to be healthy. And the issue isn't that they might get hurt. It's that happens after they get hurt. They take a long time to come back. Mm-hmm. LeBron James has ended two of the last three seasons injured. Anthony Davis ended last season injured. This is an interesting way to go about this because they are all in on right now, but I don't know if this team is good enough or this roster is good enough where if even if everything goes best case scenario, they're going to win a championship right now.
I think the question was, should we make fun of them for being old and decrepit, or should we congratulate them on the moves? And the answer is absolutely both. This is projected to be the oldest team in NBA history. So yeah, we could get our jokes off about how old these guys are. That being said, they needed to have an estimated 10 players signed at the minimum in order to fill out a roster where they were spending the most any team has ever spent on a combined three players in Westbrook, Davis, and LeBron. So you go out and you get a couple of those old heads like Dwight Howard, good inside defense. Carmelo obviously can shoot and is ready to play a different role. But also you get Nunn and Monk, two guys that are great perimeter shooters, which is exactly what you need. Now, defense is often a lot about just intensity and want to. So can Ariza and Horton Tucker be two of the guys that help you fix some of the perimeter defense, which is going to be a problem this season? It's going to be a weird fit. It's going to be an interesting watch. And we absolutely will make fun of them for all the DNP olds that they're probably going to have happen. But as far as the difficulties this front office was going to have, I think they did a nice job considering.
I don't think I'll ever think of Russell Westbrook as old until he just starts playing that way, because he always plays like he's a 21-year-old. Same thing with Dwight Howard, just bouncing off the floor. Those guys, I don't really see the age thing being a problem. I see it more with Anthony Davis and LeBron, just in terms of potentially recovering from injuries. Anthony Davis, not even being that old, just gets injured all the time. I look at those three guys, Monk, Horton Tucker, and Kendrick Nunn, as being absolutely critical, not just because they're younger, but because they're in the backcourt, because they can pace and bring that energy, and because they have some things to prove, all three of those guys. So I like the way they sort of rounded out the roster. I like the names, but in the end, the names are all still minimum guys, you know? So if they have a lull, if they get hurt, if they don't have the season you expect, what are you going to say? You had great expectations for them? No, they're minimum guys. So there's a lot of luck, a lot of factors, a lot of cross your fingers that go into play. But I love what they did with the roster, given what they had to start with and those three guys. And yeah, if they stay healthy, which is the conversation across the league every single year, if they stay healthy, I've got them in the finals, definitely.
Yeah, but Izzy, the thing about it is, it's all these dudes that don't feel old, but they really are. Like, this is an interesting thing about this whole generation of players. None of them feel old, even though they're really old. Carmelo didn't really feel old. Dog, he is old. LeBron, he is old. All these cats are old. Dwight Howard, old. He had a back surgery 10 years ago.
Can we also talk about how sad it is that we are all up here like, these people are old, and they are all younger than us.
Up next on HQ.
I am terrified at the idea that man hopped up on that much caffeine. Like, I just don't know which direction that goes in, but whatever direction it goes all the way, baby, all the way.
It goes up to 11. I would be a little more terrified if I didn't know that my radio co-host, Jason Fitz, who's roughly 1/8 the size of that man, used to do like 4 ventis a day.
Time to play the game that's happy we all have books behind us today. Do you question?
Izzy will never be free from those books because he's locked in that office. You give us topics and events and we question.
Do you question if Dodgers fans enjoyed themselves despite the loss?
So you remember that time the Astros got caught cheating? Yeah, everybody was really mad about it. Well, the Dodgers and the Astros, who played in the World Series in 2017, this is the first time the Astros are going to play against the Dodgers since they let fans into the ballpark. We will start with them serenading Jose Altuve. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, nice. Sure it's not just cicadas?
I thought it would be a little more thunder, to be honest.
I do hear some thumping. I imagine that is a trash can someone acquired from the concourse.
Cheater, nice. Cheater is what they are screaming.
Ooh.
I thought they were going to get a little bit more. Correa got it at the end of that video. I thought it was going to be a little bit worse, but it is also L.A., right? Like, they got a lot of things that come up on a day-to-day basis. Some of them, I imagine, had to be reminded there was even beef.
It was pretty loud in there, too. Like, I thought, being at the LeBron comeback game to Cleveland in 2010, December of 2010, the loudest building I've ever been in, the most just angry anybody's ever been. That was pretty good for an outdoor stadium that they've been holding back for a few years. So I got to give the Dodgers fans some credit on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to give him credit for staying mad. You got to stay mad on something like this, no matter how delayed your response eventually gets to be. By the time they let you in there to let him have it, you got to bring that energy that you had from a year and a half ago. I didn't check the innings, and I'm wondering if maybe Correa got it a little worse because by then there were more fans. I used to live in LA, and when I would go to Dodger games, I know the feeling of trying to get out there in time for the game to start. So it was probably about half full to begin in there.
I would just say this, though, man. I understand, you know, the whole cheating thing, all the beef. I totally get all that. You ain't gonna tell me that that's a stadium with 50,000 honest people in it. That's all I'm saying. A lot of people out here faking the funk right now when it comes to this.
Do you question if this is what you expected Dan Campbell's coffee order to be?
I know you guys like to get on Dan Campbell because he's a meathead. That's the term to show you. But I realize he's actually just a little bit weird. And then I remembered he went to Texas A&M. That's the only way that they make people. Anyway, this is here we're talking about his coffee order.
Normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks, I get two venti of the pike with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day.
I am terrified at the idea that man hopped up on that much caffeine. Like, that, I just don't know which direction that goes in, but whatever direction it goes all the way, baby, all the way.
It goes up to 11. I would be a little more terrified if I didn't know that my radio co-host, Jason Fitz, who's roughly 1/8 the size of that man, used to do like 4 ventis a day. So some people are just built different when it comes to coffee. I want to do a coach swap with Judge and Campbell, because we heard from Campbell that he wanted an almost all-out brawl and he couldn't wait for that in full pads day. And then we saw that actually happen for the Giants and Joe Judge was irate. I want to switch these dudes and just see what Campbell does with a Giants team that plans on getting in a fight day one with their quarterback at the bottom of the scrum.
First of all, I didn't think he needed coffee. I thought he was just fueled on manliness, so this is a bit of a surprise. I do love the whatever sound that was. That was spectacular. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Bo, and like, there's room for weird coaches in the NFL. Hell, there's one in Tennessee that wants to cut off his manhood for a Super Bowl. So yeah, I'm on board as long as, you know, you keep the football thing first.
I can't believe you guys are down with chewing off kneecaps.
I thought that. It happens.
Oh, it does?
That makes a lot more sense to me than what Mike Vrabel said he'd do for a Super Bowl.
Right. Time to play the game that just got traded by the Cubs. See or no?
You tell us what's on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight, 12:15 a.m. Eastern, USA and Australia.
All right. So Australia beat the United States in a friendly leading up to this. Patty Mills went bananas in that game. We're talking about it beforehand. We're not going to talk about it after if the United States wins, because we only talk about them when they happen to lose a game. This is my one question, though, for the U.S. in this. The one thing the international ball has is much more physical play. Why is there not a nation of goons somewhere? Like, y'all should be clotheslining dudes coming in the lane every time, because I don't see no reason why not. Is you intrigued?
Very much so. It's starting a little earlier than the last game started, so it helps with the sleeping patterns. But Patty Mills is now a Brooklyn Net. Do we really think that Kevin Durant is going to lose to Patty Mills and go back to Brooklyn? No, this is not happening. Kevin Durant will make 1,000% sure they get to the gold medal game. He's not losing to his future teammate.
Sarah, you intrigued?
I'm intrigued. Listen, you mentioned the style of play and the size. The U.S. is not good inside, so they depend on their three-point shooting. And we saw in the last game against Spain, when they're not hot, it gets ugly. They got behind by 10 until they shot their way out of it. So if they stay cold beyond the arc against an Australian team that's beat them in the last two meetings, that's consistently tops in international play, they could actually find themselves in trouble.
Tonight at 8:40 p.m. Eastern, Cubs and Rockies.
All right, we have the Cubs, we have the Rockies, and I'm told we have a clip.
You know what?
Is that Rizzo? I thought he played for the Cubs.
These are all the recognizable Cubs.
Wait.
Just wearing different uniforms.
Hold on, that's blue and that's pinstripes. I thought he played for the Cubs. Hey, this is, what's his name? Oh, Chris Bryant, is that him? I thought he played for the Cubs.
Oh, wow.
Let me just point out that I was already going to be really sad that you were making me watch the Cubs post-trade deadline, because I haven't watched a GD minute of that team since they sold off all the players. I was going to be mad enough that you made me watch a single minute of them playing after the trade deadline. But no, you actually made it worse. And they already have a nickname for him, Chris Giant. And it's a good nickname. It's funny.
So you're saying you're not intrigued?
I'm depressed. Is there an option for that?
Because I am now.
All right. Extremely intrigued. I'm intrigued because Sarah, as a co-owner of a sports team, should know that sometimes you have to make hard decisions and separate from these players, so you probably shouldn't be crying on television.
First of all, Izzy, I know that very well. Secondly, lowballing three of the guys that helped you to a World Series and selling your entire team off and then having every single one of them homer in their debut with their new squad is not a requirement of running a baseball team unless you want to claim biblical losses despite being a billionaire whose stadium brings in revenue even if you lose every single game of the season.
All right, that is our show. Izzy Gutierrez in that office forever. Sarah Spain, 7 to 9 Eastern, Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio.